The KJS Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
This Sunday, the KJS Show returns with a front row flair and a rhythm-rich coverage of the Joy of Jazz Festival. Now, when it comes to, you know, world-class groove, finesse on the kit, and a keen ear behind the studio desk, our next guest wears many hats, all stylishly tilted towards excellence. Joining us for the very first time here on Kofifi FM 97.2 is a man who keeps time like it is a fine wine. Matured, bold, and full of notes. He's not just a drummer, he's a sculptor, a rhythmic sculptor at that, a sonic craftsman, and a creative force who's been shaping the sound of South African jazz for over a decade. Whether he's leading his acclaimed Peter Orette trio, laying down tracks for legends in his Sumo Sound recording studio, or simply collaborating with jazz giants, you know, both locally and globally, one thing's for sure: when Peter Orette is involved, the music doesn't play, it speaks. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, jazz cats and rhythm seekers, giving him a Kofifi FM welcome, Peter Orette. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me. And thank you for the listeners that are tuning in. I'm very excited. It's my debut on your station.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is a pleasure to have you. You know, Peter, your career, you know, spans performance, production, innovation. But let's start with the heartbeat itself. When did jazz first grab you by the collar, you know, and say, excuse me, sir, you're mine?
I think when I was in my sort of early 20s or late teens, at least, I started playing drums. And, you know, as any respectable white boy from the suburbs, I listened to a lot of rock and roll. And a lot of my friends were studying, had left school and had started studying jazz music at the Technicon Pretoria, now it's called Tshwane University of Technology, and they sort of got me into it. They came back from school and would say, you know, we don't listen to rock anymore. We're checking out jazz, and I got introduced to names like Miles Davis and Coltrane, and the legends, of course. And I just out of curiosity, I started checking it out, and to be honest, I wasn't immediately taken by it. I had to sort of discover that journey through sort of rock fusion acts like Weather Report and Stanley Clark, you know, the early Stanley Clark stuff, and even some smooth jazz like Foreplay. That sort of stuff was my sort of introduction to it. And then at some point, I just fell in love with swing music, actually. I don't know how it happened. It just happened one day, you know.
And you know, I want to talk about the Peter Orette trio, you know, which has been around since 2010, a solid 15-year groove, you know. How has the trio sound evolved, I guess, you know, with this background over the years? And what keeps the chemistry, you know, between the three of you, I guess, David Cousins and Benjamin Jefter?
Well, you know, originally when my trio started, I started with a friend of mine, a double bass player who has since immigrated, James Sunny. He's in the UK now, and the pianist was Roland Moses. I've always been attracted to the trio sound. When I got into to jazz, you know, the likes of Keith Jarrett and Brad Mehldau. That is sort of the thing that first attracted me. And I think it's because of the interplay and the freedom that it has. You know, you're not just, as a drummer in a trio, in a jazz trio, you're not just a timekeeper or a groove player. You're a voice, you know, and there's a conversation with a trio that is not necessarily in a present in a quartet. Although there is conversation, but the roles are slightly more defined. Within a trio, there's a lot of interplay and conversation. So, yeah, I got into that, you know, these artists that I mentioned, and I had been playing with Roland Moses. We played in a jazz fusion band, and yeah, I started with him and my friend James, and we recorded an album called Turn the Tide, and since then we played the Joy of Jazz, I think in 2013, with that trio. And obviously I'm a freelance musician, so I also work for other people. And at some point, you know, there's always this management, like money, you know, art versus the dollar. Like, what am I doing this season? Am I doing other people's gigs? Or am I going to focus on my own music? And so sometimes, you know, with original projects, and I see that with a lot of our fantastic jazz artists that we have, sometimes you see them sort of taking a break, you know? And you're like, what are they doing? You know, and I think I did a little bit of that. I kept the trio alive, and then around I think 2014, with, you know, with the Orbit being around, I sort of resurrected the band a bit. And at some point, David Cousins came onto my radar, and he filled in for a gig for Roland, and then him and I started writing some music together. And yeah, and then eventually the bass player left. And I met Chiketchi on other people's jazz gigs, and the three of us, David, Amici, and I became sort of regular features, sometimes in other people's bands, and you know, we just connected, and we started sharing ideas, and we've actually done so much together, backing people and just playing. Playing music and getting together and wanting to play together.
What a tale, what a story, you know, and still on the trio. You know, it marries American, South African. I love that you mentioned Brad Mehldau. South African and European jazz traditions. Now, the question here is it a conscious balancing act or more like a poiki, you know, where the flavors just mingle organically?
I think it's a bit of both. That's a great analogy. You just say a poiki because it's, you know, it's a very South African thing, you know. But I think even though, you know, musicians have common sounds that they like often, but it is even, you know, like I love Mehldau and let's say David Cousins loves Brad Mehldau. That's actually our connection. But I also there's music that I like. Like that I know that is not sort of his bag, and he's got music that he likes that's not really my bag, and I think we inject those little influences, and then also our South African music influences, which are also very wide. There's certain things that I love and cherish, and it's very special to me. And then at the same time, he's got his South African sounds that he loves, and you know, like same with Benjamin. You know, he's from the Cape. There's certain guys that he idolized growing up, and that has informed his music. You know, his musical taste. So the poiki thing, it is a little bit of a blend. But then sometimes there is a thing about making, also trying to be unique and not copying. You know, not. I mean, we copy our heroes. We all do that. You know, but we also want to. We also sometimes want to consciously, you know, bring that South African thing to have a uniqueness, you know, to have a sound, and it's around us, you know. You can't deny that it's there, you know. Thank you.
Let's talk about, you know, your latest project, Hope Dies Last, which was released in 2024. This title alone, you know, is powerful. Let's talk about the inspiration behind this work and what do you hope the listeners take away from listening to this project?
Well, there's sort of two angles which in which I came up with this title. Firstly, when we started that project, specifically those tunes and that material during the COVID pandemic. So where you know, hopelessness was at an all-time high, and the feeling of loss and not being able to work. So the title tune Hope Dies Last was, I had written it. It didn't have a name. I think it was called Track 4. For quite a long time, but it is a sort of a somber type of march. It sort of reminds me of the feeling was like sort of like a funeral procession type of thing. You know, that's sort of the feeling of the music. And then that title, someone mentioned that one day in a joke, unrelated to the music, and I sort of like it stuck with me. And then when the artwork for my disc was done by a fantastic local a friend and a fan that comes to shows, and when I saw it, it reminded me a little bit of the COVID pandemic, and everything just sort of fell into place. You know, it wasn't like this. Oh, I'm trying to make this, you know, this emotive piece. I mean, the piece is emotive, but it wasn't really to talk about COVID or whatever, but it, you know, all these messages and the narrative of the time sort of came together, and that's sort of how the title has unfolded, you know. Yeah. If you see the art, it'll sort of make sense. It's quite dark.
Yeah, of course. In case you've just joined us, we're speaking to Peter Orrit this week, and he is our distinguished musician, drummer, and music producer, widely recognized as the leader of the Peter Orrit Trio. And he joins us today ahead of his Joy of Jazz 2025 performance, of course. And you certainly have to be there for that one. Now, Peter, you know, you've graced, speaking of performance, you've graced the stages of legendary venues like you mentioned earlier, you know, the Orbit, and international festivals like UNISA and Makufe and many others. What is it about, you know, live music performance that still excites you after all these years?
I often have to ask myself that question, because it's quite a silly career to get into. And, you know, in terms of if you want to have a fantastic life with wealth, it's not necessarily the best career. But in terms of experiences, it is the best career. And I think I asked myself this question last week. I play with Marcus Wyatt. He's got this jam session in Melville. It's been going for many years now. And it's just the joy of playing. Like the joy of playing and to almost to be childlike in terms of experiencing music where it's not about money and it's not about income, and it's a moment of expression and where you can try things, and just there's just real joy in making music. All the other things for me are peripheral. I've got kids, I've got a family. There are things that I do to make money, but the joy of playing is really what it's about, and expressing and living a life. It's an extraordinary life to perform music. It is. Mm. It's truly an extraordinary life. Mm. It doesn't always feel like that when you're in it. You know, when you're struggling. Gigs, you look at your calendar and you're like, oh God, I've got no gigs, you know, like or whatever for the next month. But it is the people that you meet and bringing joy. And it's sometimes it's just that one person coming to you and saying, I love this song. And they actually know the title of the song. And they say, this is my favorite. And it touches me. And they're so happy to hear it in a live performance situation. It's a special moment, you know, and it's not about ego or anything at that point. It's just about, you did something that would touch someone's life.
The family at the Standard Bank Joy of Jazz this year are thrilled to have you back. Let's talk to our audiences and, of course, give them a teaser in terms of, you know, what they can expect from your set this time around.
So for this year, obviously, I want to showcase a lot of material from my album, a material that I haven't, that has not really seen stages. And some of the pieces I have actually played, but they were sort of in development at the time. You know, we're trying them out, and they have morphed. And so for this year's performance, I mean, I'm hoping to bring with this trio. I'm really hoping to bring that intensity of real piano trio playing. That is the main thing. The material is not as important as the performance for me at this point. So, but I will be playing predominantly music from this new album. And then David Cousins, the pianist, has written some incredible tunes in the last year that we've performed, when Amechi was still around. And I think it's beautiful stuff. And it's also, it shows growth in the group. as you know, as performers and as a unit. So I'm hoping to play some of that music. But mainly, I think the idea is just to bring you know, the music must be a vehicle for us to do something that is going to be exciting, not in a showbiz Vegas type of way, but in a intensity and a just a, you know, expressive sort of manner where people can feel that interplay and that love for playing and the conversation, you know, where the conversation is actually what it's about.
You've collaborated and you've maybe shared stages with everyone from Sibongile Khumalo, Mam Sibongile Khumalo, to Shabaka Hutchings. Do you ever, you know, have like a pinch me moment where you just like, or a gig or studio session that feels completely surreal?
Well, in terms of those, specifically those two names, like I actually have never worked with them on stage, but I have recorded for Shabaka twice, and I did Sibongile's last album was done here at my studio. And of course, I mean, you know, the first time I got to play with Andile Yanana as in a group, he phoned me and I was like, this is a guy that I've seen play and I respect so much. And I played in a group with him for about 2 or 3 years and I loved it. And when I was a kid, when I was getting into jazz, I listened to Paul Hamner and I got to play with him a few times, and I got to play with McCoy and it's, you know, sometimes you're like, wow, I've made it. You know what I mean? It's like, there is that pinch me. You come home and you're super proud and, you know, you played in a little dingy club somewhere, but it's like, it is definitely a highlight. And also to have the people that have come through my door as a, you know, in a music production sense, I have really been blessed. And sometimes I have to remind myself, sometimes I reflect on that. And I think, it's incredible that in some small way I've also contributed to this songbook of and this tradition of South African music in a very tiny way. I'm not saying I composed their music or anything. You know, they would have made those records with or without me, but I was there and I saw little bits of history, you know, which for me is it's humbling, and it's also, you know, it's a thing that sort of sometimes gets me through a rough patch, you know. When the work is there, you're like, well, I've got this, you know, I've done this, you know, it's cool.
Yes. Kofifi FM, we are in conversation with Peter Oret as our musical guest this Sunday from our Studio 2 in Cresta. And he's one of the incredible musicians at the Joy of Jazz Festival that is happening this September for a full 3 days. That is from the 26th to the 28th of September at the Sandton Convention Center right here in the city. And all you need to do to book yourself a seat, I mean to say, is to head to their website, joyofjazz.co.za. And of course, keep listening to the KJazz Show to keep up to date with some of the happenings as we count down to Johannesburg's favorite festival. And speaking of studio, Peter, as a summer award-winning, you know, engineer and head of Suma Sound, how does your work behind the mixing desk influence your approach to live music playing, or vice versa?
You know, it's also interesting that you should ask that, because it's something that I thought about in the last week, where I mean, I work with a few artists where sometimes I'm a drummer. I play the drums, and you know. That is a role in itself, you know, timekeeping and rhythm. But often I'm asked to contribute a suggestion. And I often think that drummers, a lot of drummers are look at the you know, the composition or the production, or from a production point of view, because we don't have, our instrument doesn't have, we can't play chords, we can't play melodies, you know, we can provide rhythm. And yeah, and sometimes our job is complex, and sometimes it's not complex, you know. But we do get to have a sort of more holistic view of the sound of the group, and I think drummers are great producers generally. I think because of their position, you know, they provide support. Sometimes they are a feature, but they do have to draw inspiration from what they're hearing and create, and also add to it. You know, it's not just keeping a beat. So sometimes, sometimes there's something that you can't do, and then you would suggest, well, maybe if the bass does this, or maybe the piano should be doing less of that, and or whatever, you know. So I think there is a direct correlation between those two things. Being a drummer, there's, like I said, there's a lot of drummers that are musical directors and producers, and definitely for me, I think a little bit about that when I go play, because sometimes it's improvised music and you have to make something, and it's almost like okay, you don't have the facility of a computer where you can get a sample or, you know, dial up a sound or whatever, but you are sort of doing that in the capacity of the instrument, you know, and the limitations of the instrument.
Yeah.
Like, well, maybe you should be playing, it's more like a brush thing, it's more 16th notes, there's more subdivision in the groove, because that's really going to make this thing cook a little bit. Or yeah, so, you know, there is production for me in playing, and I do think like that. I do think like from a production point of view often when I play.
You also lead, the Scullery Quintet, blending classic with jazz. My question here is, do you see genre boundaries as walls to climb or canvases maybe, you know, that you'd like to paint across?
Yeah, with something like the Scullery Quintet, what I love about that, and it's a little indulgence of mine, because what I like about it, it's not really, I'm not really trying to reinvent the wheel with that.
Yeah.
I just like the idea of forcing classical musicians into the very difficult position of improvisation. And also to play music that is not traditional from their world. You know, it's not, with that quintet, we do play some of the great composers, Bach, Mozart, Beethoven. We play some of those things, but with a very different slant. So we try and put like a more sort of contemporary or jazz type rhythm section to it. And sometimes it's completely the opposite. It's like, it's a full on jazz composition, and they're going to play it on violins, you know, and it's for me, it's my little, dirty little secret and my sort of fun thing that I do. It's great for me because I get to arrange that music. So it's a massive learning curve, and it's a little hobby that's turned into something that is quite cool now.
my parting shot, I guess, you know, as someone whose artistry spans drums, direction, and decades. And we do have some, you know, up and coming, you know, musicians who always tune into the show. So my thing would be, what advice would you give to these young musicians as they carve this space into this, I guess, ever evolving scene?
Well, I think the main thing that has kept me going and a theme that is recurring in my life, I often have to remind myself why I decided to do this in the first place. As I'm sort of heading to my 50s now, and I have had many ups and downs, like any in any career, you know, and for any human being, where you doubt yourself and you doubt your decisions. But the thing that I always come back to, and that I have to often remind myself, is the reason why I started, and the first gig, and the first time I played the drums, and that feeling, and I'm constantly trying to evoke that feeling, or, you know, like, try and bring that feeling back, because that's the thing that keeps me going. And I think any success that I've had in my life has been because of that. It's not been because I've wanted to be famous, and not that I'm famous, you know. But it's never been because of that. It's never been because of riches. It's always been, there's obviously those moments where you're like, oh, that's a good paying gig. But the main thing for me is, like, do I love it? Do I feel the same about it, and am I excited when I pack the car, when I pack my drums in the car? I want to be excited. And sometimes it takes a little bit of, you know, just going back and thinking, why am I doing this? You know, so that's a reason to play.
Yeah. And of course, you heard it here, Kofifi FM. His name is Peter Orett. And thank you so much, Peter, you know, for joining us this Sunday. And we look forward to seeing you on the stages at the upcoming Joy of Jazz Festival.
I'm very much looking forward to that, and hopefully we can hopefully we'll see you at the show, and we can have a chat and a drink afterwards, if it all went well.
Absolutely. Musician, drummer, and music producer, his name is Peter Orett, and for our weekly Our Africa feature, he was on the K-Jazz Show.